Hello, everyone. It is the 22nd of May in 2026, and this is This Week in Quality. I'm sure it's been a busy week for everyone in the sunny month of May filled with holidays. It's difficult to keep track, but we absolutely love that you're joining us here today to talk about how your week has been, what is happening everywhere in quality, and anything else you want to do. Join in with. We have an amazing episode for you guys. Of course, like I'm hoping we're still at the start, but very hopeful. And we are gonna try and do it about clean code and, you know, what makes a good product, because we feel there's like a link between those two. So we are happy to hear all your thoughts about this. But first off, let me first introduce myself. I am Danny van Malkels. I live in Belgium, and I'm one of your co-hosts today. And with me today is the amazing Simon Tungs. I'm not sure if you pronounce it differently now with AI in the name.
Yeah, I've taken on AI in my name. I'm officially going to change it. So I think it's Simon.
Simon.
Kind of sounds a bit like a robot saying it. I used to program computers to say your name when speech in technology was an early thing. But yeah, it's great to be here with you today, Demi. Always enjoy co-hosting with you. And welcome, folks. It's lovely to see some people in the chat, right? We've got some names that are new to This Week in Quality. So I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Demi, I think Rolf, Ramya, Vitaly, somebody called R, those folks might be joining us for the first time, and perhaps they are Nadia Schultz's colleagues. Exciting, right?
It is amazing. We always love it to have new people in the episode. And we're like, ooh, what are they going to bring to the conversation or to the stage? Because like you guys know, later on in the episode, we invite everyone listening live to join us on stage and join the conversation. So if any of you new people want to join and come talk to us, we would love to speak with you guys. It's going to be amazing. If anyone else here is like, ooh, new people, we can invite new people. Of course you can. Just share the links everywhere. Spread the news about This Week in Quality, because we absolutely love it, meeting new people and talking with so many new voices about quality.
Absolutely. And just to amplify what you shared there, Demi, we will eventually enable a little button that you can press on screen that allows you to join the stage queue. So you jump into the queue, so you don't join the stage immediately. We'll see that you've joined, and we'll find the right time to bring you up on stage, say hi, introduce yourself. This is a voice only event, so for those joining along live, just makes things a bit easier for us to keep cameras off, just have a chat with our voices, and also, you know, for our podcast listeners as well, we're grateful for you joining us today. Okie dokie. Well, clean code is a very interesting topic. So Demi and I, we set ourselves a little challenge, didn't we, before this episode, to go and do a bit of research on clean code. So I have a background as a software tester, quality person, quality leader. However, I do not consider myself a coder. So I was familiar with the concept of clean code, having worked with many software developers, engineers over the years. But I was like, what does clean code really mean, and why is it important? Demi, maybe we can jump into, like, I guess you've got a good example that you shared in a moment earlier on today. So what kind of, what was your reflection of clean code this week?
Yeah, well, so my team, we have many applications that my team takes care of. And there's currently a big thing going on in the company where we want to migrate all of the projects in WebLogic to a container, so to new technology. And it's, of course, a big undertaking. And we recently started with one of our oldest applications. So that means there were no testers on that team. It wasn't yet good practice to put a lot of tests in the code. So there's not a lot of unit tests in there. There is hardly any documentation. If there is, the chances are it's not up to date. We're in Belgium, so it's an awesome mix of three languages in the documentation as well. So you have a mix of Dutch, French, and English in there, which makes it even more confusing. So we have started this undertaking, and it's going a bit difficult. The developers are having a bit of difficulty with it. The tickets have been stuck for a while, and we've been discussing a bit like, what can we do to get things going, to move tickets along? And one of them suddenly exclaimed in frustration, like, guys, can you please stop cleaning the code and first make it work? Because he saw other developers cleaning code instead of trying just to get the basics working so the tickets could move along. And he was so frustrated by this that they were cleaning all this old code instead of trying to make working code in the first place. So it's a big issue going on, especially with lots of legacy code and stuff like that, like trying to make it clean and stuff like that. I suppose it's very difficult. So you really have to weigh off, like, how much time are you going to spend on cleaning when there are deadlines, when there's stuff to do, when it's old code and you actually shouldn't be touching it because it's working. You don't really know how, but it is.
Oh, amazing. And good on your colleague for just going, you know, enough's enough. Stop cleaning code, first make it work. And I shared, for those following along live, a link to your moment. And I think the meme you found really sums it up. A bell curve with, on the left side, someone saying, writing clean code is important, like 0.1% distribution. And then the middle of the bell curve, clean code is useless if it doesn't work. And then on the right-hand side of that bell curve, messy code that works but isn't maintainable is just technical debt.
I found that one and was like, this is it. This is exactly what we're talking about. So I couldn't.
It's great. I say it's great, but also, I feel for your team having to go through that. And wow, like, as you know, I had a similar thought to what Sherry, the sharing in the chat. Wow, three languages, and then Nadja Schultz replying, throw in German, they speak all four.
At some points in our application, we do have to make documents in all four languages that we send out to people. So it's lots of fun when only one person in the team actually understands German.
Incredible.
But yeah, so we are really a multilingual team. So there's people that speak French, speak Dutch, don't actually speak either one, or are still learning, that came from another country. So usually most of our discussions are in English, but then the old documentation, like the rule in Belgium really is, you speak your language and it has to be accepted and no one can complain about it. So because of that documentation, the old documentation is really like just in French or just in Dutch, or then someone made an edit or an update to it in their language, and it becomes a big jumble of languages.
Wow. Yes, indeed. Ah, it's fascinating. Well, I can share some of the things I spotted when doing a little bit of research on clean code, if that's good with you, Demi, and our audience. So I like the line from Martin Fowler. Martin Fowler just, like, very gracefully, and I kind of say that with a bit of sarcasm, just very blunt, says, any fool can write code that a computer can understand. Good programmers write code that humans can understand. I was like, okay, that's the key thing, is can other people understand your code? I kind of went on to say, I gave an example, like, you know, maybe you can get away with messy code if you're solo, like you're running your own application, no one else is going to look at your code, you're just doing it yourself, you can write whatever you want to write. But the reality is probably going to be that we're collaborating at least with one other person, right? And they are going to read your code and you are going to read their code. So I gave an idea where it's like, without clean code, it's like creating an unnecessary puzzle for your colleagues to solve every time they want to make a change to the code base. Some of us like puzzles, but maybe not that much. Anyone for an overly complicated 4D capture? I don't think so. So I was trying to think, what's a good analogy for you know, code that isn't clean. And then I discovered, I remember dry and KIS, or keep it simple, stupid, which sounds a little bit rude, but anyway. But the principles I landed on were meaningful names. Just give meaningful names to any variable, function, or class. If it's clear and descriptive, then others will are likely to comprehend it and easy to maintain. The one I didn't know of was single responsibility principle. So it helps when a class or function has only one job or responsibility. And what I liked about that is there's a real connection with testability. So it's much easier to write and maintain tests when there are clear responsibilities in code. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm very familiar with testability and advocating for that. I can see how the single responsibility principle is connected. And then the other one was don't repeat yourself, or DRY, or DRY. So yeah, don't introduce duplication because it's inefficient. And it's a signal to the rest of your colleagues that the code isn't as well represented as it could be. So yes, some thoughts there. I also went down a teeny tiny rabbit hole about what clean code means for the world of AI. And I'll land on this line, but I think we should start getting some people up on stage to share their thoughts. But I landed on the cost of creating code has collapsed because of AI, yet the cost of reading hasn't. So the cost of creating code has gone down, reduced, collapsed, yet the cost of reading code hasn't. And I wonder if that's a truth or an assumption, or I don't know. How do we want to interpret that? But talking of truths, another quote from Robert C. Martin. Robert says, truth can only be found in one place, the code.
The senior developer, the architect, senior developer on our team, he always says that. And each time I'm like, yeah, but on Confluence, there's something different. I'm like, no. The truth is in the code, Danny. And I'm like, I get that, but I can't see the codes. So now what do we do?
Yes. Can you see the truth? Oh, that's very interesting. And that harks back to an earlier edition of This Week in Quality with Sean Vernier, where we were talking about the epistemology of quality and the epistemology of testing. Like, what is the truth and what is a belief? So I recommend, if folks haven't listened to that one, Sean had lots of thoughts. We had a good old discussion with AD Stokes as well as myself about what that means, and some good stuff, good commentary from the audience as well. Brilliant. Okay. So should we do a quick recheck of the chat to see what's been happening? And then I guess we can start inviting people up on stage. But yeah, feel free to do that if you wish.
Yes, there's lots of things going on in the chat. For one, Ashutosh thinks there's a typo in your name, Simon. I'm sorry if you haven't noticed.
Oh, my goodness.
Alexander Romanov is saying, like, oh, you just ask your AI bots to clean the code. And then he comes back to himself and like, but how does AI see clean code? Like, what do they know of clean code? And it reminds me of a thing here at work, because one of my new responsibilities is checking releases, and we're currently considering if one of the things that you need to check for the quality of a release is the quality of the code as defined by SonarQube. And it actually, SonarQube tells you how many code smells there are. And I first was very confused, what are code smells? But then I laid the link, if the code smells, it's not clean. So yeah, you should go clean. I got the word joke there. So it somehow found all kinds of code smells in the code, and is giving a ranking to it, like how big of an impact it is and how important it is to go fix it. So I was like, oh, so there is a way to automatically find code smells and see how clean the code is. That is very interesting. I'm learning a bit more about that. It's very cool, right?
That's really cool. And that feels connected to, there was a insight that went out yesterday. And the question on the insight that people in the community were answering is, what's the simplest guardrail you've used that had the biggest impact? And Neil Taylor made a point where he eventually asked his AI tool of choice, or his AI agent, you know, what guardrails do you have in place? So it's like, to the point you just made there, Demi, about finding tooling to do that work for you, and Alexander recommending to do that as well. It's like, just ask, like, go back to your agent to or your tool of choice to say, like, you know, tell us, you know, how clean is this code, or where are the code smells, or what's really going on here? Whether we trust the information that comes back to us is another thing to explore, and how reliable that data is another question, but it's an interesting one indeed.
Rich Adams shares that Christian Ballmann, I believe is his name, did a great talk on TestBest 2022 about code smells. And I did find code smells in the glossary as well, so I could look up what it was. But clean code isn't in there. So maybe a challenge for us today is we can try to find a good definition for clean code to add to the glossary. Let's see. Alexander is also asking, where is the join the stage button? We just put it live. I'm sorry. We forgot to press the button to put the button there. Alexander, yes. You can join now if you want anyone.
There is a reason. We've had the button appear before we go live, and people have joined backstage before we've gone live by accident. So it's to avoid confusion, but thank you, Alexander, for the reminder. It should be available for those who want to join the stage.
And I see Rolf, I believe he's one of Nadja's colleagues, and Nadja is saying, like, Rolf, he loves clean code. He should really come on stage to talk to you guys about it. So Rolf, please do that. Press that button that we just made available to join the stage. Come talk to us about it. And he loved that quote. And if I'm not mistaken, the timing corresponds with the quote about a good developer writing code that is readable by humans. So if I'm not mistaken, it was that one, which I absolutely agree with. That's an amazing quote. And he also made a bit of a word joke in the chat there. He says, you want dry feet, not wet feet. With the dry being don't repeat yourself, and wet being write everything twice.
I love that. That's awesome. We absolutely need to get them in the glossary, Rolf. So yeah, for those listeners who are unfamiliar, the Motiverse has a glossary of terms, and it is growing. And a recent change we got out this week was to offer up a count of how many terms are in the glossary. So if you head over to ministryoftesting.com/glossary, I'm just waiting for the page to load now. In the search box where you can search for all sorts of terms, it will give you a count of how many terms exist. I think it's over 500 now. I'm actually getting a page unresponsive. Oh, there we go. So that's a nice little live production test for us. I hope that's not going to impact the other tabs that I have open, including this one that is hosting this very event. But we will come back to that later. So I'm not going to get it to shut down because I don't want to risk shutting down my entire session. So that's one. But I do encourage you, go have a look at the glossary. If there is a term that doesn't exist, you can add one. So all our professional members have permission to add one. You can also add to an existing definition. This is the cool thing, right? An existing term. If you have a slightly different take on what clean code means, or what an AI guardrail is, or what dry is, or what wet is, just add it, right? Share your take. Give examples. We've all got different lived experiences of these terms. So do get involved. We absolutely love the glossary. It's a great way for you to build up your profile. Any glossary entry goes on your profile. It's really good for SEO, for people to find you as well, and also for GEO to discover all the good things that you're sharing. So do add to the glossary. Rose AI Sherry has just added clean code. So do go and join Rosie and add your definition of clean code.
Rosie was like, challenge accepted. I'm going to add that term.
Challenge accepted. Well, luckily Rosie didn't get a page responsive message like I did. But the page is now resolved. There are 550 terms, which is incredible. That is such an amazing contribution by the community to add that many terms to the glossary. So yeah. Kudos for folks who have got involved in that, for sure.
I will soon be adding a few more to that because I'm currently working on an article, and I had 80 give feedback on it because I sent it in and 80 gave me feedback. And he was like, yeah, just add all those words to the glossary. Then I'm like, oh no, that's so many of them. Where did I find all those words?
It's brilliant. And there's another potential Alexander Romanov shares. Do we need TET? Test everything twice. Yes, we do. That has to go on the glossary. Everything twice. I love that idea.
And of course, his earlier question, what is a clean test? Like, of course, we need to know what a clean test is as well. So if you have a definition of that, of course, Alexander, go add it to the glossary. We would love to see those. But I see in the meantime, we have our first guest backstage. So drum roll, please. It is the amazing Rolf, who is joining our stage for the first time. Welcome, Rolf. Can you?
Yeah, hi. amazing, Rolf. yeah. I just want to talk a little bit about clean code because, as Nadja said, I really love it. It's something that was in my past and in my current career, everything, something that I always wanted to achieve and tell to people and talk to, and teach to people, because it is the main topic is to make the code readable for other colleagues. And I have been in the industry for over 30 years and doing projects of every kind of programming language and software and environment, and I have seen everything, but not everything, but a lot of it. And more often than not, I found code very unreadable. You get code from someone else and you look at it, and the first impulse is to, oh, I need to completely rewrite it. And that's something I don't think is the right approach, because when I get to code, I always see some, often see some kind of improvement of opportunity, but I want to understand it first. And you can do a lot to help to understand code. And clean code is for me, it's not a rule set per se, but more a mindset. You need to understand why, how do you write code so that someone understands it? For example, something for example, you do online shop, and you have some payment process, and as usual in Germany, you have to add some value added tax that's 19%. That's usual in Germany, and when you write code and you have a line of code where you multiply the current order with 1.19, you have made the correct programming step, but it's hardly to understand. And what I like is to subtract all the functionality into a separate method. So on this situation, I would call a method called add value added text, where I have a name, a speaking name, where I understand what would happen, and the details, how it is done in the method. So if there's an error or you have to adjust the value added text because some legislation and changed, you can do this at one point, one single point of truth, one responsibility. And in the code, I see the name and understand it, so I can read my code like a book. And that's something I try to achieve every time when I do coding and when I do reviews. I tell people, why don't you just extract this part of the functionality into a separate function, so I can see what it does by the name of it. And there are a lot of principles that you can use to make code better, and they all get together to make your code cleaner. And the final goal is to have it readable for everyone. And that when you look for a change, when you see, okay, I have to change the value added text, I know where I have to look, and I don't need to understand the code first, because I'm shown where it is done. And that is something that I think it's very valuable, because it makes the code usable for a lot of people. And it is also a very good option to make it testable. And that's something I need to have a good package of. And that such code can be maintained very easily, I think. Yeah. So for now.
Rolf, amazing. So much good insight in there. I was like taking notes, like, oh, yeah. This is really cool. Yeah, grateful for you for sharing that, kind of playing some of that back. I like the approach where you describe like understand first, but then improve next, instead of the other way around, where it's like, oh, I can see it, it's obvious, I could just improve this stuff. Like that ability to take a step back and try and like understand its context, what's really happening here, why have some decisions been made and choices have been made already. So I think, yeah, you describing, I was actually going to ask, do you think it clean code is like, is it a skill, a habit, or discipline? And I like the way you said it's a mindset, mm-hmm. you know, and that this is like, read my code like a book. There's something very cool about that. Like an engaging book, a book that tells a story, that makes things clear. You know, you understand the plot, you understand where things are going and where things fit. I really like that. That kind of analogy or that principle of, you know, read my code like a book. That's very cool. I also think the point you made about extracting, so just extract things into separate functions, just so it's easier to parse and it's easier to make things testable. I really like the way you described that as well. Demi, any reflections?
I absolutely loved all the things that you said. I was reminded of something when you said, like, when you like read or review the code of another developer and you're looking at it and you're like, you want to rewrite it because this is just not clear, you know? And I remembered a developer in my team that does that actually. That was when a few new junior developers joined our team and he reviewed their code and he just decided, no, this isn't good. And then he rewrote the whole thing without telling them what was wrong with it. And I was like, no, give them the feedback. Tell them why would you change things? What is not clear about this? They will never learn how to make good clean code this way. But I absolutely understand the urge of reading like anything, whether it's code or analysis or someone else's test and looking at it and be like, this is not clean. I need to clean this. It is not good. I so feel this.
and like that, just the way you described it, Demi, I really feel for those junior colleagues because it's like, it's sort of the attitude that can sometimes happen. I have worked with some developers like this where it's like, oh, you don't need to know how I fixed it. You know, I've just fixed it, mate. Don't worry about it. And you're like, well, I do kind of want to know because that will influence my testing approach next time around. Like it's another useful data point to help me make better decisions when I'm thinking about risk and stuff like that. So it's like, I think the really good developers that I've worked with are open to describing. They're like, okay, well, if you want the detail, you know, let's have a chat about it. And I can explain some of the decisions that I've made to how we can clean things up. And I know that takes time and that takes effort. Yet if we are to support, you know, the next generations of developers out there, particularly if they are heavily relying on AI tooling right now, with code reviews being more important than ever, I believe, we have to make that effort and put the time aside to collaborate with those with less experience than those who are experienced to describe things and explain the reasons why, you know, those particular choices that were made perhaps could be improved. What's your thoughts on that, Rolf, the kind of relationship between like senior engineers and more junior devs?
Definitely you need to explain why you think things are different or you want to change things because it's just an investment. When I don't tell them how they can improve, I have always to rewrite the code and I just want to do it once. So in the end, if I tell them what my thoughts are and usually I'm not always right. That's something that a lot of senior developers need to learn as well, that you can learn as from a review and a discussion with some junior developer a lot more than just being the always right. And I've done a lot of reviews in my time and I can't remember just one review where I didn't learn something new. And so it's always an opportunity. And I think it should be done regularly and you should improve your colleagues every time.
I agree. Hi.
Yes, Nadja. Welcome. Thanks for joining, and thank you for bringing your colleagues to today's episode of This Week in Quality. I'm well chuffed that your crew have turned up. This is brilliant.
Yeah, I knew it would be. As soon as you announced that we would talk about clean code, I knew this would be a gem today.
Brilliant. That's very cool. Demi, I guess we can do a quick check in on the chat. And Rolf and Nadia, please do stick around. And Nadia, we do want to find out about your week in quality as well and connect it up to this clean code. I'm just conscious there's been some stuff happening in the chat that we should call on.
It is absolutely amazing, I can tell you.
Yeah. It's like, so Alexander sharing, if we haven't shared this already, so I'm trying to keep up, always leave code cleaner than it was at the beginning of your PR. Yeah, interesting. She just joined us earlier on, thanks, but had to drop off. Rich Adams, several regressions that I've done with root cause analysis on have come from code that was hard to understand. Interesting. And subsequently got misunderstood. Very clever code, might look cool, but readable is way better. And that's such a good point, Rich. Nice one. And Gary Hawks, good to see you, Gary. I've instigated three iterations of stories because the developer was wrapping into his ticket some major refactoring through coding agents, questioning, so what does that impact? Repeatedly to understand the full scope. Oh, I can appreciate your frustration there, Gary.
that sounds like the five whys on repeat, like each time that he does something like, why? But why? Just until you get to the answer and understand everything. Like, amazing that you do that in code reviews.
Totally. And AD Stokes joining us a little bit later. Hello, AD. Sorry, didn't quite wait for you to join us before we started. I know you had mentioned that. But what did I miss? Is the code clean and shiny yet? And Alexander, we're still working on it. Gary Hawks needs a longer rinse cycle. Love it.
The spring cleaning over here. Yes. Working on it.
Perfect timing.
If you want to help, AD, do join us on stage and help us clean the code. You're very
helpful. Yes, please.
No, but it's amazing. Alexander just shared, the cleanliness of the code is measured by the number of autofunks from a senior developer.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That sounds great. Like a good KPI. Yes. Yeah.
Love it. Number of WTFs. There we go. Get that on your dashboards, folks. You heard it here live on This Week in Quality. Nadia, please do tell us a little bit more about your week and like kind of your takes on clean code, you know, what it means when you're working with your colleagues as well.
Well, I don't have to do a lot with the code, so I never see the cleanliness of the code of my developers, not really. But I remember when I was driving in Roskar, he really likes to talk about all those things in the car as well. So I consider those little learning lessons. When we're on the way to the office or somewhere, it's always fun. And yeah, I wanted to share that the Berlin chapter has a meetup in 2 weeks on Friday, the 5th of June. The event is online and people can sign up. It's going to be about building better tests with AI, obviously, because we cannot escape AI. Not even here.
We can try. It's not possible.
Well, you failed.
tried so hard. We've got a little fun challenge going on amongst the This Week in Quality co-hosts. Is like, can we do an episode or we don't mention the A and the I? I just don't think it's possible. But, you know, we can still try, right?
We'll have to put it as the team for the next one. Like, guys, whatever you do, we don't mention it, okay? Just have everyone helping us achieve the challenge or something.
That's brilliant.
There's always going to be the group that wants to win the race and will try to sneak on the stage to just say the word.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, the rules are to be broken, right? This is the fun of it.
We'll have to come up with like a sound effect that when we post the recording, it like bleeps out.
It should be a duck. It should be a duck.
It has to be a duck.
Exactly. Yeah. That will be our plan.
I have a little button. It's attached to my backpack. When I press it, it's a little duck. And when I press it, then it makes quack. And I don't think my microphone will pick it up. Let me try.
I do.
Close.
I do hope this works.
Yes. Ah, it's amazing. Yes. So, Nanya, you'll be in charge of doing the forbidden word.
As Rich Haddon shares in the chat, quacking out AI. There it is, folks. That's the term of the week.
Oh,
that's gold.
We amazingly got sidetracked, which is always fun on this weekend in quality.
It does happen. It does happen indeed. But Jenny, I was thinking like there's another part to this, and you hinted at it at the start of today's episode. And Rosie Sherry, who's CEO and founder of the Motiverse or Ministry of Testing, she put out a good moment last week, I think it is, or maybe a bit longer ago. And her statement was this: a good product is one that is used. So in the world of clean code, if we can apply a clean code lens onto it, and this is oversimplifying things, but I'll say it anyway, because it might be spicy and it might start an interesting conversation, is even if your code is as clean and as beautiful and it's so easy to read and as a bunch of coders or developers were like, oh yeah, I'm so clear and you write code and it's so clear, what if no one uses your product? Like, what happens then? Like, is it clean code gives us more of an opportunity to build a better product that's more likely to be used? Or how can we kind of apply a clean code approach to developing products that people will actually use? So I think there's a nice connection between the two, where you can kind of think in terms of like, well, the end user and customer, what's their experience like? They're not really, speaking bluntly, going to care if the code is clean. They just want the product to do the thing for them and have a good service at the same time. So yeah, I wonder for those on the stage what your thoughts might be on that. And also for those in the chat, what do you think about those thoughts?
If you have a product, you see the most successful products are the one with clean design. So you don't have clean code, but clean design. If you have something cluttered for example, on a mobile app, you have something that's which is complicated, those apps don't usually succeed. You have clean design concepts, you have good ideas, you have easy to understand the concept of using an app or a software. And if you have this, then the software is usually quite successful, and that's kind of the same thinking process. What you put the understanding and the usability on first place, and don't accept halfway results, but always try to make it better. And that's something what you do with clean code as well. It's the same mindset, I would say. In the end, it's you're right. Even if you have the best clean coded app, you can still have something that nobody wants. So that help you if the idea of the app is the wrong one.
Really good points there, Rolf. I do, yeah, that kind of clean design, I think that's, yeah, it's where it's at, right? It really does. I think of all the good products and services we use out there, there's something consistent about, you know, they might be serving different needs or solving different problems, but they do have clean design, as you describe it. Things aren't cluttered. That's a great, great reflection there. Demi or Nadia, what are your thoughts on this particular part of the discussion?
No thoughts.
No problemo. It's all good. It's all good.
Well, I wanted to share about making a product that no one uses. It is a bit different in the place I work, because I work at the Belgian government at the moment. So whatever we make, they have told us to make. Like, we are sure they're going to use it. Like, that's not our issue. The issue is when we are making something completely new, like there's a new law that came in place or whatever, it needs a new application and is doing something completely different than they have done before, or something they haven't done yet. Like, the workflow hasn't been decided. How are the government agents going to use this application? No one knows yet. That's when we have issues, because now we're like, we can make all kinds of stuff. We can do this and this and this, but we're not going to make it if you're not going to use it. So we then have to force our business, as we call them, the agents, to be like, okay, you tell us what you want, what you need, and they don't know yet because they haven't done it yet. So it's a very difficult cycle that we're in. Like, we're trying to figure out what they need us to make so we can make it, but they don't know yet. So we try to make something that they might need, and then we see what their reaction is, and then based on their feedback we adjust it. And it's a very weird process we're currently in. It's making a good product, making something that people use is not very easy, even when it is a product that is specifically asked by someone that is definitely going to use it. Then even then, they don't know what they want. So making a good product that people are going to use is very difficult for everyone involved. When I saw that moment, I was meaning like, yeah, it would help if the people that need the products know that they need it or know what they want. But it's very difficult to ask that of people, apparently.
That's fascinating. It's kind of like, did people know that they wanted the iPod, or did people know that they wanted, I don't know, social media or Twitter back in the day? Oh, there's good questions there, and I can appreciate the challenges with what you described there. Very interesting indeed, Demi. I see some good commentary coming through on the chat as well. Oday, apologies if I've mispronounced your name, saying with reference to Rosie's moment around a good product is one that is used, not really true. A lot of products widely used, but not really good. But the problem is there is no alternatives. Ah, yeah. So you're kind of stuck with using products and services because you've just stuck with it, and they may be awful, but that's the only one you can use. That's a very good point. Adam Davis, good to hear from Adam. Code needs to earn its value. Aim to ship safe, fast, in small chunks to understand value and iterate. Oh, brilliant. We can spend too long trying to reach some view of perfection, delivery over perfection. Very cool indeed, Adam, for sharing that. Right. And there's more coming in, Demi, if you wanted to pick up on them, go for it.
Yeah, like Helene is on my team, by the way. She shared like, yeah, and then often we have then European deadlines to meet and we're trying to make the product and they're not telling us what to make, and you know, so it's extra pressure. But I see that Gary Hawk says that his most common question in conversations at the moment at work is, but why does the user need that? Because it's not enough that we've developed a feature that works. So he asks that very often at work, apparently, to try and figure out the use of all the features. And Rosie Sherry just proclaimed, never listen to your customers.
Brilliant.
Always fun.
Well, I think with Gary, I can imagine Gary wearing a t-shirt just says, why does the user need that? Just on video calls where It just appears every time he joins another meeting.
He just points to his shirt like, hey.
Gary says he's on it. And Louise Woodhams, oh, good to hear from Louise. And sorry, Louise, we missed some of your earlier comments, which are always wonderful when you share your thoughts and comments. What is user? Brilliant.
Oh, yeah. When you get to that point in asking questions that you get to the most basic ones, like, but who is even the user that we're making this for? And like, just going back all the way to the beginning of everything, just to get the answers you need.
And then for the Tron geeks out there, you know, are you a user or a program? But I won't go down the Tron route right now. Rolf, it'd be lovely to get you back into the chat up here. And also, if you are listening live and you want to join the stage, we've got about, you know, maybe just over 5 or so minutes to go before we wrap up today's episode. So jump on in. If you've got any reflections on what's been discussed so far, what does clean code look like for you? How has it had an impact? How has it been misunderstood? How has it actually caused more delays than perhaps you wanted it to? Where is that sweet spot when it comes to, you know, understanding when something is good to ship and the relationship it has with clean code? But in the meantime, Rolf, any further thoughts that you'd like to share with us today?
Yeah, maybe something about the term clean code that was framed by Robert C. Martin. He's known as Uncle Bob on the media. And if you try to Google something of him on videos and on YouTube, you find a lot of keynotes where he just speaks about an hour, and those talks are absolutely brilliant. Not only he describes how he thinks what is clean code and how he thinks clean code should be done, but he also has a very good talent to make keynotes very funny and very helpful. So I can recommend to just look one or two of his keynotes or more. I just look everything I find of him, and he is very inspirational and this kind. So can only recommend that.
I love it. We get folks finding those talks from Uncle Bob. I hadn't joined the dots that Robert C. Martin is Uncle Bob, but there you go. Because I managed to get a quote from him earlier on.
Yeah.
On the moment I post, it's like, ah, oh, that's Uncle Bob, right? Yeah, I've heard of Uncle Bob before. Yes. So for those who are unfamiliar, we have a thing called the Observatory on the Motiverse. And this is a way of adding links to stuff that is interesting. So that's a perfect, you know, those talks from Uncle Bob are perfect candidates for people to add links to some of those talks. When people add a link, you can tag them. So I guess you could tag them clean code or principles or whatever, right? Whatever tags you feel is appropriate. And then when people kind of click on that link, the person who added that link gets a star. So it's a nice way of kind of saying thanks to the person for sharing, bringing stuff into the Motiverse that is interesting and helpful. But yeah, appreciate that, Rolf. We're definitely going to find those links and get them added to the Motiverse. Brilliant.
I was just momentarily very confused because Uncle Bob is like an old media figure in Belgium. And I was like, oh, wait, that guy is like a developer or something that is doing keynotes in Instagram. I was very confused.
That's amazing. Yeah. What a changing career.
Apologies for that one. No, there is still some amazing stuff going on. For the people that are still with us that haven't signed off yet, there's still a few minutes if you want to come do a mic drop on stage, like this is your moment. But in the meantime, I saw that A.D. Stokes shared something like the one thing that has always come up when I've paired is naming conventions, especially for unit tests, along with log file output in normal language rather than just numbers and noise. And it reminded me of like the first time I wrote some automated tests, and I had like a senior test automator give me feedback, and he was like, "There's one thing that you did amazingly, Demi." I was like, "What? I did something right on my first time? What was it?" And he was like, "The name of your methods is superb. They tell me exactly what they're doing. And I was like, hey, I did something. I was so happy. But in the Slack, so professional members of Emoji have access to our Slack channel. There's all kinds of channels, and in a few of them, there's also been some good things shared. For example, Alexander shared somewhere in the Just for a Laugh channel, in the speaking about will the user use this feature, and it's like, boss, we need more features on our app. I'm like, Cordy, yeah, what do you want? And the boss like, something new, something useful. Yeah, like what? Figure it out. And then it's like a screenshot of like Prime video, and it's for a TV show or something, and they have the option to shuffle episodes for a TV show. I have no idea who uses that button. Amazing. Or who came up with the idea. It's absolutely amazing.
That's brilliant. It's like create your own timeline for a TV show.
Exactly. So that might have been pitched a bit incorrectly. And in the chapter channel for Twic, which you need to search on it if you want to join that one, because you can't find it otherwise. Helene also shared an image of like all modern digital infrastructure, and it's like a very complicated structure of all kinds of bricks and blocks and whatever. And then there's like this one tiny, small little block at the bottom, and it's like a project some random person in Nebraska has been silently, thanklessly maintaining since 2003, and it's holding up the entire tower. And I'm like, oh no. So yeah, that was on the topic of writing code that humans can understand.
That's wonderful.
I believe this episode will be a gold mine of memes being resurfaced and stories being shared.
I think it will. And hot off the press, I'm just seeing that some moments are coming in within the episode, so live, happening right now. And let's just see if I can very quickly share them in the chat. So what do we got? We have got one from Rosie. A good product is one that gets used and cleaned up over time. Oh, wow. So she's jammed on her previous moment. Here we go, folks. For those joining along live, she's got the post out. The moment is out within one episode. That is impressive. And also, Nadia has shared achievement unlocked. Get 5 developers to join this thing. Quality. Amazing. And another one from Gary. It's Twic time. I'm going to share this one because the photo is amazing. So please, if you're following along live, learning lots of secrets about clean code with Simon and Deli. Thanks for doing that, Gary. Like, challenge accepted for those of you amazing humans who have created a moment within this episode. I mean, that's so cool, right? Achievement unlocked.
Definitely. And if you guys want, also, AD has started another one of his moment threads about wins of the week. So if you have a win this week that you want to share with the monitors, like go to his moment and put a reaction on it and just share a small win for the week. Like, for example, I'm going to put on there, like, I believe that my team has taken it as a personal challenge that when I said I wanted to get a bit more technical this year, that they're like just bombarding me with like technical API integration, I don't know what tickets for me to test. And I've been having meetings all week to discuss how I can test these tickets because I really don't know. But I consider it a win of the week. I can follow the conversations and that I have the chance to try these challenges. So I'm gonna put that as a win. So if anyone else has a win, like, do share it on his moment. He would love to hear all about your wins, I'm sure.
Brilliant. Well, that's so cool, Demi. Yeah, important to reflect and share on some good things that have been happening. So thank you, AD, for posting that or creating that moment, I should say. Lovely stuff. Okay, folks. Well, we are coming to the end of today's episode. big thank you to everyone who's joined, and in particular, folks who are new to This Week in Quality. It's so good that you showed up. And Rolf, for jumping up on stage, we're very grateful that you've joined us. I'm so glad that Nadia encouraged you to do so and that she was able to join us as well. Loving it. But yeah, please do come back. There's, you know, more good stuff to talk about. We have all sorts of themes and topics to discuss. So yeah, we'd love, you're more than welcome to join us any time in the future.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Demi, any final thoughts before we wrap up today?
I was just reading through everything because Rosie is real life, and keep the moments coming because it's been an absolutely amazing episode. And we actually have a thread in the Secrets co-hosting channel where we are trying to come up with titles for the episode and ideas that come from the episode. And like, I am sure we're going to have amazing ideas in there after this, coming up with the perfect title. So if you guys have any suggestions, like, do let us know. But it was absolutely amazing hearing all the stories in the chats and here on stage. And it was an amazing trick, as I'm sure you guys can all agree. So yeah, see you guys the same time next week, I would say.
Wonderful. Yeah, great to co-host with you, Demi. Always a pleasure. And yeah, enjoy. And for folks who are considering a professional membership with the Mottaverse, do go for it, right? Head over to ministryoftesting.com/membership. A lot of people rock up. They come for the knowledge and they stay for many, many more things. And if you head on that page, you can see some of the things that people stay for. When we put that page together, the list was like, oh, how do we could go on forever. There's many more things that people do stay for. So do consider your professional membership. You will make the most of your tech career by doing so. Have a lovely day wherever you may be. Thanks also to our listeners who are joining us on the podcast. Enjoy your day and we will speak to you soon. We'll see you in the Mottaverse. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.